Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast that helps you sculpt your dreams into reality. For this episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, everyone, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if you are new here, first, I want to say thank you for clicking on the podcast to check out the content. This podcast presents a psychotherapist and Zen Buddhist perspective on the mind and how it manifests your moment-to-moment reality. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you master your reality, master your life, through mastery of your mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. Now here on the podcast, we have a couple series. We have our Tuesday Taoism, like today. We have our Zen stream on Sunday. And then I do try to throw in an extra episode now and then on something related to other related topics, mental health, psychology, psychotherapy. That is my background. I've been a psychotherapist for about 16 years now. And we also talk about some manifesting stuff, some law of attraction stuff. So you'll find all kinds of content related to that here on the podcast. So for today, we are talking about Tuesday Taoism. And again, for those of you who are new here, Taoism is based on a book, Tao Te Ching, written 2,500 years ago, give or take. There's no absolute certainty on who wrote it. The general belief is that it was written by a hermit, in ancient China. He was, supposedly worked for some kind of monarch and was a custodian of documents, records, books. And supposedly, as legends go, he was very, very wise. And somebody asked him, hey, you should write down your teachings and so on and so forth, and that's where we get the Tao Te Ching. But there are other people who believe that it's actually a collection of work by multiple authors, so who knows? All I know is that when I first read this book as a teenager, it had a tremendous impact on me, and I have been returning to it throughout the years. Keep in mind, as I say every week, it's been translated. This book is 2,500 years old. It's been translated hundreds, if not thousands, of times by many, many different people. And so you could pick up two copies, even if they're both in English. And if there's two different authors, you get two very different interpretations. I've read quite a few. And I keep returning to this one by this gentleman named Stephen Mitchell. I really like this particular translation. So we're reading through it. Each chapter, I do one chapter per week. Chapters are very, very short. So I'll read this. We're up to chapter 57 this week. So I'll read it to you, and then we will discuss it a little bit and hopefully get something helpful for our practice today. All right, so this is chapter 57, Tao Te Ching, as translated by Stephen Mitchell. If you want to be a great leader, you must learn to follow the Tao. Stop trying to control. Let go of fixed plans and concepts, and the world will govern itself. The more prohibitions you have, the less virtuous people will be. The more weapons you have, the less secure people will be. The more subsidies you have, the less self-reliant people will be. Therefore, the master says, I let go of the law and people become honest. I let go of economics and people become prosperous. I let go of religion and people become serene. I let go of all desire for the common good, and the good becomes common as grass. And that's the end of that chapter right there. Like I said, very short. Now, let me just put a disclaimer out here right now, okay? I never want this podcast to bleed into any kind of political ideologies. I'm not here to talk about how government should be run, or, you know, my position on, you know, things that people are very polarized about, okay, simply because I don't want to be polarized. Pretty simple. Now, this particular chapter, if you notice, talks about some things that, from a certain perspective, can sound rather, you know, political, right? Talking about how to function as a leader, right? And it even talks about laws, economics, you know, government. And now, keep in mind, as I've said here before, there have been a few chapters here and there, not that many, really, in this book, that are about governing, that are about, you know, not politics, but how to manage a society, let's say, okay, or large groups of people. And I believe, just my personal belief, that when whoever wrote it, that their heart was in the right place, and that they were basically sharing their perspective on how to best, you know, govern or rule a group of people, okay? Or if you're a monarch, you know, this is a good way of ruling, wise way of ruling, okay? So I am going to talk about this chapter, and as best I can. I mean, I want to talk about it truthfully, express my true beliefs, but I'm really not here to get into, you know, my particular beliefs on, you know, this whole thing about where he says, I let go of the law, people become more honest, I let go of economics, people become prosperous. Or where he says, you know, the more prohibitions you have, the less virtuous people will be. And he says, the more weapons you have, the less secure people will be. I do have beliefs about that, but I'm not here really to get into that. Now, one thing I will say, that I think is interesting, and it's in line with a lot of other stuff that's been shared here in this book, is that we tend again to see this, how do we put it, to paraphrase or to simplify it, is this idea of the more you try to control, the more out of control things become. Now, we also hear in this book a great deal, and Taoism a great deal, about balance, right? With the yin and the yang, you know, comes straight from Taoism. And what we also hear, and I've talked about a lot here on the podcast, is about this apparition of duality, right? Where we have, my personal belief is that the true nature of reality is that there are no dualities, right? If we see duality, it's because of our distortion of perception, is that that's basically a byproduct of how our mind operates and how we are able to experience how we are able to experience reality is that we cannot experience this because of the way our brains operate. We cannot experience it as one, right? We tend to split everything into pieces, right? Because the totality of reality is too much for our brains to really, really grasp. And so the way that the mind is able to process it is to break it down into pieces. And as that happens, you begin to have this arising of duality, up, down, left, right, in, out. But ultimately, there is no duality, right? That's our distortion, our perception. So you'll hear a lot in this book, as I've shared here before, you'll hear a lot of talk about paradox. That comes up a whole lot. And you hear a lot about, you know, I guess the finding, avoiding extremes, I guess is a good way to put it, right? It's finding that place where neither up nor down are really the focus. It's more about finding the point beyond that duality, right? Beyond the up and down. And I think that's a little bit of what we're seeing here in this chapter. So if we go back through it a little bit, and one of my favorite lines in it here is that he says, let go of fixed plans and concepts and the world will govern itself. And there's another clue in the second line where he says, you must learn to follow the Tao. Now, as I've said here plenty of times, there's no direct English translation or word for Tao. Some people translate it as the way, which, you know, I guess it's okay. But it's basically talking about this this, for lack of a better word, I would say it's like a movement or a dance between opposites, okay? So we often talk about, as we talk about the nature of reality, we talk about the objects that appear in our world, right? So where I'm sitting right now, for example, there's a table in front of me, there's a window, there's trees outside, right? These are the physical objects of our reality. My body, for example, your body, physical manifestations of this universe. And then for many of us, I think probably most human beings, there is a belief, right? There's an intuition that there is also something beyond the physical world, right? Something that we cannot perceive with our five senses. And we have many words for this, God, source, universal consciousness, you know, all of these things. We could use these interchangeably. But again, when you look at it that way, you create, again, this duality. Is that, oh, there's a physical reality, and then there's the non-physical, right? There's the source out of which all physical reality appears. Where, again, reemphasize, that separation does not exist, okay? The physical world is the consciousness, is the high self, is God, is source. It's our perception that makes it appear as if it's separate from or different than, but it is not. So when he talks about, when he writes lines like fixed plans and concepts, that indicates a gripping more tightly onto what would be the physical side of things, right? The fixed notions, because in this is often talked about a little bit more in Zen, is just like we have our physical objects, as I was just describing, we also have very fixed mental formations, beliefs, right? Thought structures, ways of perceiving that we kind of, well, this is the way the world is, and that's how it is, and nothing's going to change it. You know, those kinds of fixed beliefs that we interpret our reality through. And of course, as we do that, we shape our reality to be different than maybe what it could be to somebody else, right? So when he talks about, what I'm saying is that those fixed concepts, those fixed ideas, those fixed ways of interpreting fall into the same category as the fixed physical structures, okay? And then, so the fixed physical structures applies more to the external reality, right? What we're seeing with our senses, whereas the mental concepts, the mental structures, the mental beliefs are same category, but are more internal, right? In our minds. So just as I described from our dualistic perspective, in the external reality, the opposite of that fixed reality is source or God or whatever. In much the same way, within ourselves, the opposite of those fixed ideas, those fixed notions, those fixed concepts is the high self, right? It's the part of us that is connected to source. It is consciousness, which is what makes the space for those concepts to even appear, right? So we can see how the outer is actually a reflection of our inner reality. But again, both of those, external, internal, are still subject to the way that we split things into, right? The formations and source, or externally, the physical objects, and again, source. So as long as this duality exists, it is easy to start to value one over the other, right? We either say, oh, this physical world is no good, it's all an illusion, you know, we just have to, you know, connect to source and forget about this physical reality, it's all an illusion and it's no good and I gotta get away from it, and okay, but that's still not really the correct view, in my opinion, because you're still placing value on what is ultimately a distortion. It doesn't reflect the true nature. And then you have other people that completely shun and want nothing to do with God, right? There's no God, there's no God, no, there's nothing out there. It's just, this is our physical world and this is all we got to deal with and this is all that is, and then that's it. This is also an incorrect view, because it's placing value still on one side over the other. It's dualistic. So when he says here in this chapter, letting go of fixed plans and concepts. He is reducing some of the gripping that we tend to do on the physical side of things, except we're talking internal here, right? The fixed concepts, the fixed ideas. And this is something that you see repeat throughout the Tao, is that the Tao lets go, the Tao allows, the Tao surrenders, the Tao, the movement of the Tao is always to flow, to release, no gripping, no hardness, right? Let me pause here for a quick second, allow a word from a sponsor, and we'll come back to this chapter, see what else we can get out of it. All right, thank you for your patience, and wow, I just realized how long I went on that first half. Sorry about that. But I'll try to wrap this up, the second part, a little quickly here. But basically, going off what I was saying and coming back to point at a few lines in this particular little chapter, is I want to talk about these lines where he says, I let go of the law, people become honest. I let go of economics, people become prosperous. I let go of religion, people become serene. I let go of all desire for the common good, and the good becomes common as grass. So what we're seeing there, and it comes back to this idea, is that when you begin to try to control more, right, which is where I started, right? So, oh, well, I want people to have this, and I want people to have this, and then people should act this way, and people should be happy, and people should be this, and then you begin to try to control circumstances to make people the way you think that they should be. What this chapter is basically saying is that the more you do that, then the more actually you will give rise to the opposite of that, okay? And this is, of course, a result of exerting too much control. This actually, it's kind of funny. This actually reminds me of a concept that I remember reading about in the reality transurfing world. For if any of you have looked into that, it's pretty interesting. I'm not an expert in it by any stretch of the imagination. I just read a little bit about it here and there, and I found some interesting stuff in it. And one of the things that the author talked about in that book is that when, for example, you desire something too strongly, right? He basically describes this. It's an interesting visual. He says, you know, kind of imagine, you know, a line that separates the physical world from, you know, the opposite, which I've been talking about, right? The potential, he calls it. Eckhart Tolle calls it the unmanifested, okay, or source, whatever. So imagine this very sharp line between the two. He says that when you have too much desire, you pull too hard for something on the physical side, then what happens is that the opposite, the on the other side of the line, the source senses this pulling, right? And to balance out all the pulling that you're doing, it takes what you want and it pulls it in the opposite direction to balance out that pulling, which is sort of like, interestingly, it's sort of like the Tao is that everything you push too much for, you try to control too much, actually gets more out of control. It actually is a similar kind of effect there. So the more you desire something very, very badly, according to the reality transurfing author, then what happens when you pull something with too much desire, then on the opposite side, on the source side of things, source, in a sense, feels that distortion of the pulling and takes what you want and pulls it further away from you to balance out the unnatural pulling you're doing. That's why things you want really, really badly seem to get further away. And then, interestingly, the opposite is also true, where if you really hate something and you try to push it away from you, you push, and a source feels that pushing and says, whoa, this is not balanced. So it pushes back towards you more of what you don't want. And so it's kind of funny, and you can kind of see, and at least I have myself have experienced this kind of thing. Or it's like, let's say you're waiting for something, right? Time is a great example of this, right? It's like you're waiting to go on a trip, right? You have a big vacation coming up in a few weeks. The weeks drag on forever. You want the week to get here so bad, right? When you're really paying attention to the clock, right? And you want the time to go by so bad, time seems to go on forever, right? But then when you're having a great time and you don't want the time to end, the time goes by so fast, right? Time goes by so fast. This is a neat little example of this. And I think that's what we're seeing in this little chapter that he's talking about, is that the more you try to create more and more and more laws, right, then the more and more and more you'll get people who will break the law, right? And the more and more you force people to try to be this way, the more and more you will get people who will react in the opposite way. So it's interesting to see how, even though here he's talking about particularly governance, leadership, that kind of thing, we can still extrapolate from this the underlying pattern, which is that the more you try to control, and many times the more you will kind of choke off the natural flow of things in your life, which is, again, how the Tao seems to function, is always letting go, always in the flow, right? So good chapter. I hope that you got something useful out of it for today. Stay tuned. I'll be back later this week with another episode. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.